Let us move forward. We are progressing in the essence of the indicative, the facts, the eternal facts of life. Amen. The everlasting facts of life. Those things that are relevant to one existing eternally in the body of Christ. Oh, we are so blessed this morning. Oh, how much we are blessed. Oh, how gloriously we have been provided for. Amen. It is an apt statement, not worthy of mentioning the fact that of who we are, the essence of who we are, not who we are in Him, but who we are outside of Him. We are, amen, we are nothing. We are, amen, we are in vessels of clay, in vessels of depraved humanity. God has performed a magnificent work in saving us and placing us and into the body of Christ and giving us a glorious inheritance in Him. Let us continue as we read our base scripture and our exposition of the glorious body of Christ, the church. As I've said, we'll be on this a few more weeks. I'm not saying one or two, amen. I'm saying a few more, amen. But we are at least to the 65 or 70% point of a dissertation concerning the glorious body of Christ, the church, amen. A base scripture is found, as we all know by now, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29 of the Liberman is our designated reader this morning. Then we're going to move right quickly to the first chapter of Colossians. We will read verses 15 through 20 for contextuality. And I think we had moved up through verse 18. Now we shall progress in that area this morning. All right, Rowan has the third chapter, Galatians, verse 26. Amen. Amen. All right, read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Mm-hmm. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hmm? There is neither male nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male and female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All right, verse 29.
And if ye be Christ, mm-hmm. then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Those who are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and his eternal work in bringing about the fact of your heirship. All right, let us go now to first chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Now, for contextual fortification, let us read the 15th through the 20th verse. Everyone has Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, say amen. All right, I'll read.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
We're going to clear that up this morning, and it is there for you to see, and thank God this is one instance where the King James did italicize that which they had no manuscript justification for. Amen. It pleased, it says, the Father's italicized. Amen. Read that again. Leave out the Father.
For it pleased that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
All right, let the church say amen. Notice how many times you see the pronoun references he and him. Yes. In every instance, it's talking about Jesus. We say, no, this looks like, it looks like the things they're talking about him, for him, to him, in him. So that sounds like that should be ascribed to God. Well, it should be ascribed to God as it is ascribed to Jesus, because Jesus is God. And we have spent some time conveying that to you so that we have the understanding, amen. Don't get all mixed up in the Godhead. Notice this week on a certain radio program, they debating, not debating so much, but raising the question, inviting people to call in as to whether Jesus is impeccable. Amen. Which means, is he above the tendency to sin? Can Jesus sin? Amen. What a crazy question. If you understand that he is God, we would not even be using that as a basis for discussion. Amen. Can Jesus sin? Can God sin? Well, amen. We say, well, I know God can't sin, but I don't know about Jesus. So he was tempted in all points like to us, and amen. But you see, when you have the essence of the Godhead straight, you don't get all off the road and off the track, dealing with such trivialities that I won't even call that a triviality. Amen. I call that nonsense. Oh my God, what a crazy question. Amen. If you know who he is, then you won't have to ask what he is. Amen. And what he's capable of. Amen. All right, this morning I'm going to, because we'll never get through with this, I'm going to move directly to the 19th verse. Amen. I'll read that again now. Leave out the Father now, because that's italicized. And none of the manuscripts, not even the Textus Receptus, which is supposed to be the underlying manuscripts of the King James interpretation, none of them have the Greek word papros there. So papros is father, And if it's not in the manuscripts in that verse, it should not be in the translation in that verse. All right, read it.
Colossians 1:19.
Mm-hmm.
For it pleased that in him should all fullness dwell.
Now from the Greek text. For he was pleased. He being who? Jesus. For he was pleased for all the fullness to dwell in him. Now the actual Greek reading, and because of the controversy, we go to the actual Greek reading. It is OTing off to a focusing panto pleroma katis kise, which is literally rendered, and this might not be the best structure for flow in English, but because there is some question concerning the wording, we will render it literally. It is literally scripted, for because in him did please all the fullness to dwell. Amen. Again, for because in him did please all the fullness to dwell. Amen. Now, everywhere else in the context, and this is why it is so important that you don't snatch one verse out, run with it. Amen. Make sure that the text is harmonized with the context. What is there can be supported by that which is around it. Amen. Everywhere else that pronoun after he or him, no matter what the clinches may be in some cases, after, but regardless of that, when you look at the context, it is clear that it's Jesus. So when you get to the 19th verse, rather, it is also Jesus. It troubles some to think that the reading is, the thought conveyance is that it pleased Jesus for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus.
Right.
Amen. That is not, it's not enough. And that's because we don't give Jesus the full praise and recognition and reference as to who he is. Amen. He is God. Amen. There's only one Godhead. There's only one intelligent center. There's only one, amen, you all are human, there's only one emotional foundation in the Godhead. This is why Jesus could say to Thomas, Thomas, what are you talking about? When you see me, he wasn't talking about the physical Jesus now, amen. He said, when you behold the essence of who I am, you know who you and us, let's see the Father. Amen. Amen. For with this all given the various expressions of who God is and his workings. Amen. So when we look at this, we must understand that it pleased God for all the fullness to dwell. It pleased Jesus for all the fullness to dwell. The same thing. Jesus is God. Let the church say amen. Here, as we progress in the exposition, the Greek conjunction oti is rendered for a because, as it expresses that this verse 19, is a continuation of the cogitation of the thought in the antecedent of previous verses, documenting the supremacy and immanence of Christ being the first one. This is basic to God's purpose that Christ should be first and supreme, as we said last week, in the lives of his people. Observe, have the Greek verb Effocusing, rendered pleased. It is in, it is an, as we go to the grammar and I have to do it, it is an indicative aorist. It is a factual past completed action denoting that in eternity, God was the light. So, well, I thought you just said Jesus was the light. I'll say it again. God was the light. Jesus was the light. Amen. That all the fullness was fully occupied in the essence of Jesus Christ, which is the basis for his being the first one. If Jesus is less than God, then why is all this attention and focus, amen, being placed upon him? Amen. Did not in the Old Testament, it basically speaks that he says that my glory will not share with another. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And the reason that we're driving this point over and over and over and over and over again for you to have the true appreciation and realization of who you are. Amen. As a member of the body of Christ, you must know what importance that God has placed on you by the essence of who the head of the body is. Jesus is God. Amen. You have received the nature of God. You have received the nature of he who is the head of this body. Now in this sense, follow me now. All that has been previously stated about who Christ is and what he accomplished is summed up in the most significant phrase of the context here. Again, literally, panto plerama, rendered all the fullness. Here we go, amen, to get into the essence, amen, so we can clear up some of the semantics surrounding, amen, questioning the very nature of Jesus. Here, the key word in this phrase is pleroma. It is rendered fullness, which has the general connotation of being totally occupied, totally engulfed, complete, and full of measure. I think I'll repeat that. The word pleroma, rendered fullness, has the general connotation and it conveys it and it exudes being totally occupied, totally engulfed, complete, and of full measure. Now, when a thing, a vessel is full, that means that it means what? It's, that means there's no room for anything else. Huh?
Yeah.
Whenever a vessel is full, you can't, you say, well, we're full. That means you can't get anything else in there. Amen. And when you speak of a Godhead, It speaks of the fact that in Jesus, every attribute and every importance that can be ascribed to God, amen, is manifested in the fact of who Jesus is. You all hear me this morning. Here, the most important consideration is whether or not the conveyance of this word denotes a specific meaning. I want you to, we're going to go a few places this morning, and I might be a couple of Sundays just on this verse. I don't know, but we got to get this thing understood concerning the essence who Christ are, Christ is, because that's who, that's where your abode is. Amen. That is your dwelling place. You're in the body of Christ. And this is ultra important.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, we can spend time this morning talking about the do's and don'ts and all of these. And certainly, amen, as we conveyed in our document to writing on analysis of perennesis, it is so very important that we ascribe to good to moral character and conduct, amen. But the process of that, that we must fully know and appreciate who we are, to be thoroughly motivated in this respect, amen. It must be on the basis that we have a full understanding of God's position in us as sons and who we are. Paul writes in one case to the Corinthians that says, "What? Don't you know who you are?" Basically, I'm paraphrasing. That your body, that your vessel, that your temple, amen, is a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know who you are? Paul was speaking of the new creation, the new man. We must know and have the fundamental, foundational working basis in order for us to respond. That is God's process. That is the motor and the drive shaft that's put into the vehicle that causes it to move. Amen. Without this knowledge, you ain't going nowhere. Huh? It's going to continue to be sometimes up and sometimes down. More down than up. Amen. But to truly progress and develop, amen, in identification of who you are, these facts are so important because you, amen, can't successfully convey the imperative unless you first have the indicative. You can't talk about what to do and how to do it, but before first knowing who you are. Follow me now. Just so, for corroborative information, let's go. Hold this now. Don't leave our text. Here we are doing what we call textual synthetic. Amen. We are going to get some other verses, and yet we are not leaving our gospel to do it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, while you keep your finger at where our text and context is, which is Colossians, let's hold that and go to Corinthians chapter 1, rather Ephesians chapter 1, and read verse 23. Everybody got feet? I hear pages, so I know you don't have it. Amen. We'll wait on you. But it is so important that we get the true essence of what God has given us and what we are recipients of. In the third verse, Paul speaks of the spiritual blessings that are in the locale of the heavenlies, and the heavenlies is in the locale, because here you have another case of a double genitive. The heavenlies are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what that speaks to is that all that God has done for us have been placed into the essence of our position in Christ Jesus. So in order to fully have the comprehension and appreciation of that, amen, again, we must take the time to impress upon you the glorious nature of Christ Jesus. Y'all don't hear me this morning. All right, everybody got it down to the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, amen. All right. Read.
Ephesians 1, verse 23. Uh-huh. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
All right. Oh, my God, look at the time. But you know what? I'm going to have to go back here, bring this into context. Go all back to verse 18 and just read. I'll try not to comment, but I want to make sure that this thing is into context here. Amen. This is exciting stuff. It might not be talking about how you get out of debt. Amen. Amen. But I think how you got into Christ Jesus is more exciting than how you get out of debt. All right. Read.
Ephesians 1, verse 18.
Uh-huh.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened,
mm-hmm.
that ye may know what is the hope of his calling,
oh,
and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power.
To those of us believing, and we are believing how? According to the workings of his mighty power. How have you believed? According to the workings of his mighty power. You, that is kata, according, are dominated by the workings of his, I said I wasn't going to come here, but I've got to on this. According to the workings of his mighty power. Amen. That's what got you into the body of Christ. The workings of his mighty power. The eternal workings of his mighty power. Amen. In the eternal realm that he wrought you. Amen. He chose you. He elected you. He sanctified you. He positioned you as sons in his body. In the, amen, the essence of that which he accomplished in the eternal realm.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Glory.
That's how you got there. Had nothing to do with you. Waking up one morning, deciding you're going to go to church. Now, when the preacher gives an invitation, an altar call, you make a decision for Christ. That's not how you got into the body. Amen. Long before you ever came on the scene, before he ever created you, amen, he placed you and called you, amen, he sanctified you, amen, he placed you into the essence of his body, he gave you his nature, amen, all of this was assigned to you, and then he created you. Amen. On the basis of what he had pre-assigned. Y'all hear me this morning?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Pastor, that's going too far. Oh, no, it's not. Amen. Here, when it says according to, amen, it means on the basis of his power, his working power, because the work of salvation is done in eternity. It was started.
Yeah.
It was implemented.
Yeah.
Amen. It was culminated in eternity.
Right.
Amen. Every bit of it.
Yeah.
God's not making anything up on the basis of what you do. No, is he looking down in to time to determine what you're going to do. Amen. So he can know what he should do. Isn't that crazy? No, it's all in his decree. All right. Amen. Keep reading. Oh, my God.
Verse 20.
Uh-huh.
Which he wrought in Christ.
Uh-huh. It's all in Christ.
When he raised him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And set him at his own right hand.
And set at his own right hand. You see, him. Him is what?
Christ.
Yeah, but it's italicized. That's not how that reads. Read that again. Read it slowly how they have translated it. Amen. And then, do you have your Greek book there with you? Got your Greek Bible. Amen. Elder, do you have your Greek Bible?
Yes.
All right, take it out here. Let's juxtapose it for a minute. We're going to juxtapose this. Amen. and take our time. I don't get through one or two points and you walk out here understanding, knows we've accomplished something. Amen. It's time out, amen, for reading and not knowing what we're reading. Amen. And this is why we have so many fables and so many things that are being said about Jesus. Amen. Nonsensical things because we don't know who he is. Amen. We have no conception of who he is. Let's juxtapose. You all just bear with us. You say, well, you turned into a Bible study. Well, amen. Thank God, amen, for teaching. Amen. Teaching and preaching, they are companions. Amen. All right? The 20th verse, read that in the King James again.
Ephesians 1:20, mm-hmm. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
All right. Just suppose that and read from the Greek. Verse 20.
Ephesians 1:20,
mm-hmm.
Which he has operated in Christ, raising him from the dead,
mm-hmm.
and setting him at the right hand of him in the heavenlies.
Raising him from the dead, and now don't do the same thing you did. Now you notice he's got that in the Greek. He's got that what? He's got that parenthesis.
Right.
He's got that bracket.
Right. Yeah.
So, gentlemen, right. You know this is he's missing the point here also. So let's read what's there. Okay. Read. Sometimes when I stop and I read directly from the Greek, I say, Pastor, why are you doing that? I'm doing it because I want to quote it exactly like it is.
Okay, right.
Amen. He said, well, we don't know what you're saying. Well, it's on record as to what we're saying. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's on the tape what we're saying. Amen. And anyone that does know a little Greek, amen, we have documentation that we're not up here editorizing and changing things.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to just go along with what's there because some translator, interpreter placed it there. Amen. What we want is the intended cogitation of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit, what is the conveyance? Amen. What is, let the text do the talking. Amen. God doesn't need any help. Amen. In the rendering of a communication unto us. It's a lot of these fellows, it's like they don't trust the scriptures. To basically just give the conveyance of what's there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Read that again, Elder. I mean, from the Greek this time. Anything that is bracketed in parentheses, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Read it.
Which he has operated in Christ,
mm-hmm.
raising him from dead,
mm-hmm.
and setting at of him in the heavenly.
And seating, amen, at the right of him in the heavenlies. Seating, setting at the right of him. And this is why, amen, this destroys, mm-hmm. destroys them off, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And in their minds, this makes Jesus another entity from God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not following the text.
Amen.
The right is the place of favor. Amen.
Yeah.
Which is saying that justification wise of, oh my God, God is justified in the essence of who Christ is. Amen. And he as our representative is pleased. And so, amen, as we express it, we can say the Father is pleased. And the Son is pleased. And the Holy Ghost is pleased. And God is pleased. Oh my God. If that's which Christ has wrought, of God has wrought in Christ for us. Otherwise, you don't get the full impact of fullness and completeness. Amen. There,
amen.
It is pleasing And it is complete and it is full because it is the work of the Godhead.
Yes.
It is expressed through Jesus Christ, the Son, but it is but He is God, an expression. Did not we just say, amen, He is the image of the invisible God.
Yes.
So God is just and justified in justifying you and me. And the testimony of it is that Jesus sat in the place of favor of that Amen. Which He has accomplished. Is pleasing to the Godhead.
Yeah.
Are y'all following me this morning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question that we are justified. There's no question this morning that we are acceptable to God. There's no question this morning that what Jesus has done is enough, is more than enough to satisfy the justice of God because who He is and who we are and who we have been made from eternity in Him, in essence of who He is. So He is seated there because of who He is. He is God. He is seated there because that's where He belongs. He's not there because He has been set there from another place, elevated to the place of favor. He was always favored because of who He is. Y'all follow that? Hallelujah. Now let's look here at the 19th verse. We're just going to juxtapose all the way down because, you know, we don't want to be, off the track there. Read first from the King James, verse 21. Read.
Ephesians 1:21.
Mm-hmm.
Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
And we'll touch that when we get to verse 20 of Colossians chapter 1. Go ahead, read. Verse 22, right.
And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church.
Look here, and gave Him to be the head. Read that from the Greek.
22?
Yes. We're just supposing, aren't we? Are we just supposing? Yeah. All right. We're laying them out. We're reading one, and then we're looking at the other.
Okay.
We're comparing the Greek to the translation here, and our aim is to get what the true intended cogitation is. What is the intended conveyance? What is it you are to understand and comprehend when you read this?
Yes. Amen.
Verse 22 from the Greek. Read.
Verse 22, Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
And all things subjected under the feet of Him, and Him gave head over all things to the church.
What happened to be? It's not there.
Amen.
See, what we try to do, what we think of, is that the work of salvation is twofold. That the planning of it is in eternity and the implementation of it is in time. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. God accomplished all of this In eternity. In eternity. God's not doing things on a daily basis. Everything is decreed. Time and creation and time are vehicles for manifestation and revelation only. He wasn't placed as head of the body in time. He was placed as head of the body in eternity. In eternity, he has always dwelled, for he was existing from the beginning. I'm talking about Christ.
Yes. Amen.
We must understand this thing, otherwise things get a little shaky sometimes. We're going through our problems. Amen. And we see the unstableness of things as they transpire in time. Which makes it look like there's nothing secure in time. Amen. Have you to know that God accomplished all of this in a perfect environment. He accomplished this in eternity.
Glory to God.
He wrought your salvation in the essence of a perfect environment in eternity. There's nothing shaky about your salvation. There's nothing shaky about God. And there's nothing shaky about Jesus, because Jesus is God. And how nonsensical is it to be arguing about whether he is impeccable or not? It's crazy. Because we want to view him in time. And this is why Paul said we don't know him after the flesh. Even he said we don't know no man after the flesh. And even though we have known Jesus according to the flesh, there is a historical account of him according to the flesh. Amen. It's not the Jesus we know. We know, amen. Yes, sir. We know, amen, through the testimony, manifestation-wise, of the Jesus, amen, that fed the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. We know the Jesus that healed the leprosy. We know the Jesus that opened the eyes of the blind. Amen. But that's the testimony of his earthly abode and the work that he did as he preached the gospel of the kingdom to Israel. But we are members of the body of Christ, and we don't know him like that. We know him as the eternal God who has this glorious body. Don't waste my time talking about whether he's impeccable or not. Amen. Because I know who he is. To the text. We were supposed to have just been corroborating verse. Amen. But it's just too much there.
Amen.
To just run through it.
Amen.
All right. Verse 23.
Ephesians
1. From, as we're still juxtaposing now. All right. Read.
Ephesians 1, 23. Greek translation.
No. Read from the King James first.
Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Now read from the Greek.
Which is the body of him, the fullness of the all things, with all things filling.
the fullness of all things. If this glass was full, it was almost full, but if it was absolutely full, could you get anything else in there? No, you couldn't. That's the confidence of the Godhead.
Glory.
In the expression of who Jesus is. Because if you have him, you have it all. Everything that is about God has been assigned to us nature-wise by just saying Jesus is our head. Fullness. Fullness. All right, give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to try to get this out here on time today. Amen. Let's go back to the 23rd, the 8th, the 19th verse of Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. See, if you get all of this straight, then you can deal with the business of your bills, the problems that you have, amen, in your homes, on your job, the problems that you have in personal relationships. You can deal with your bills. You can deal, amen, with everything, amen, touching you. But you're going to do it from the plateau of the eternal viewpoint of who you are in Christ Jesus. You're not going to stand, amen, on a horizontal range looking around at that stuff, because it'll beat you up. It'll knock you side your head and knock you around and knock you out. Amen. But we are looking at it from the viewpoint of what we have been privileged as members of the body of Christ to see and to comprehend. And this is why, no matter what is going on around us, our approach to parenthesis, our exhortation and urging and advising is from the eternal, vertical, heavenly viewpoint. So we get above this stuff. Not try to deal with it from being right in the middle of it. It's better to look down on it and to look around at it.
Yes.
All right? We back down to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And so again, we look at this term, pleroma, rendered fullness. Again, it exudes the general cogitation of being totally occupied. Totally engulfed, complete, and a full measure. Amen. And we've just looked at Ephesians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 23, which speaks that the church, which is his body, is referred to as the fullness of him who is filling all. In all, the all, he's all. You don't need to add anything to it. Amen. He is the head of our body. And to this, in Ephesians 3:19, the Apostle Paul's prayers that all believers will be filled with the fullness of God. I'm sorry, I've got to go back to that. Amen. Let's turn. All of these are corroborative, amen, testimonies to the statement of this term, pleroma, of fullness. Hold that again, amen. Let's go back. Let's go this time to Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 19, amen. We may be proceeding a little slowly here. But, amen, for years we have just run through and read this stuff and then not take time to look at it good. Mm-hmm. And because of it, we have internalized it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's the difference between putting a 300 horsepower engine in the car versus something that's much less powerful. And we want to progress. We want to move. We want to develop. We want to be able to deal with the things of life around us. And I'm not just dealing, but someone was saying yesterday on the radio, you know, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. We don't have to hang on nothing. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're not just getting by. No matter what's going on around you.
Yeah.
And it is nothing compared to what God, amen, has done for you eternally. And this is why Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm found. Whether things are so-called good or whether things are so-called bad. I'm content. This is why the apostle, amen, could get a good night's rest even while he was in jail. Not still up all night worrying about what plans they had for him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
While he wrote,
yeah,
he wasn't writing thinking about their plans for him. He was writing to the church telling them about God's eternal plans.
Hallelujah.
I said, well, Pastor, that's like sticking your head in the sand. It's an arch. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's doing, amen, the opposite. That's going up into the vertical stream, amen, and looking down on whatever's going on. So that you can see that whatever's transpiring, amen, it's all working for your good. This is why Paul could write and say to the church, amen, that the things, amen, that have happened to me, amen, have resulted in what?
The
furtherance of this truth. Because whatever is going on in your personal lives, whatever it is, these are just incidents in the sphere of time as you move toward eternity. Whatever they are. They come and they go. Amen. And they do not constitute what your life is. Whether you have money, do not have money, does not constitute what your life is. Whether you are in good health, or whether you are in poor health, does not constitute what your life. You all hear me this morning. Does not constitute, amen, the essence of what your life is. What constitutes what your life is where God has eternally placed you. All right. You have that, yep. Everybody, the third chapter. I'm going to wind up. I'm just cut off at this point. Oh, my God, there's just so much more here. I'll probably, as I said, be on this one verse here, maybe at least another Sunday before we move on. But this is information that you need because you know what? You know what? There's something out there waiting on you. To suck you upside your head. And what we are talking about is putting on the helmet of salvation. That's what Paul means. He expresses that, you know, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, the fifth and sixth chapter of Ephesians. And he speaks about the helmet of salvation. It means getting your mind, amen, encapsulated by the knowledge of God. All right? We end up here today. Verse 19, read it.
Ephesians 3, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now, he starts off in the 16th verse. In fact, go up there and just read that down. Yeah, we may be a few minutes over this one. But I tell you what, you know, this is important. You just can't walk. You got to walk. You need to understand these things. Amen. There's something out there waiting on you. Amen. Listen, verse 16, read that.
That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye may be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
You see, he's dwelling on, he's focusing on the indicative. Knowledge. Now, when we do this, this is not to say that we are oblivious to the things that are happening. But this is the true methodology of what the Holy Spirit would have ministers to do in conveying parenthesis or exhortation, is to take you through the exercise of just loading you up with facts and knowledge.
Yes.
Read verse 19.
Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge.
For what reason? Here we have Enoch, that what?
That ye might be filled.
In all of that, you might be filled
with all the fullness of God.
Now let's go to the Greek text, and then we'll cut off here today.
Greek text, beginning with verse what, 19? Okay. Ephesians 3:19 Greek text. And to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
I'll go back and read that real slowly this time, Elder.
Okay.
And when you do, as we look at that 19th verse again, very slowly.
And to know the excelling.
All right. The excelling knowledge. The excelling. Remember when I used that term when I was conveying to you the spirit of truth? We went epo volume. Here, this is another. This is another declension of that. It is epovolunson. Here Paul uses what we call a superlative. He uses an exceedingly high term of assessing value. And so, the Greek word here is translated excelling knowledge.
Yes.
And you notice King James said that passes knowledge, which that is a way of conveying it, but it doesn't do enough. Ever you have such a superlative, you must take time and dwell on it. It is the excelling knowledge. This knowledge will cause you to excel.
Glory.
Above everything else that's around you. And it won't even be about what's around you. So to know the excelling knowledge, what?
Love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
Isn't that? Doesn't sound the same, does it? Doesn't sound the same. Glory. And I said this, I'm going to cut off today. It is a blessing to be able to just follow the text.
Thank you.
Let the text do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I said? Let your fingers do the walking. Mm-hmm. Let the text do the talking. So progressively, what we have done here this morning and what we hope to do each time we minister to you is to progressively convey the indicative of the facts as they give expression to induce understanding so that you as a believer can excel. And this is done through the comprehension of our eternal existence, which includes our understanding of what the will of God is for us in our everyday life. Huh? It's not exclusive of that. It includes it. But it just treats it from the vertical plane, not from the horizontal plane. Amen. And this is why Paul can write in another place to say, don't be terrified of your adversary. He wasn't just talking about, amen, some bear out in the woods. He's talking about the circumstances of life. Okay? Some circumstances can come and just frighten us to death. Make our hearts faint. Amen. But to trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Each and every day. To trust in Jesus. As we walk in Him along the way, to trust in Jesus and understand. As the song says, as I go to my seat, trust and obey. Trust and obey. But to be happy in Jesus is to do what? Trust and obey. How are we going to trust and obey? We trust and obey because the more knowledge you have about something, the more comprehension, the more confidence that you can have in that. Hallelujah. Jesus, I champion. Jesus, amen. I everything. The head of the glorious body of Christ, the church. God bless you.
Hallelujah.